Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Merry Christmas. What a beautiful, I think it's a beautiful Christmas hymn that is, well, I think certainly appropriate to sing today on Trinity Sunday. It also happens to be Father's Day. It's fitting also, as we just recited the Athanasian Creed, if you noted in the hymnal, or maybe you knew this, the hymn writer of the Father's Love Begotten is Aurelius Prudentius Clemens, who lived from 348 to approximately 413. Around the same time, probably not an accident, that this full confession of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is confessed by faith. And we sing of God the Father who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, in and through the power of the Holy Spirit to save us. And because we have been called by the Spirit, because we have been taken from blindness to sight, I heard somebody preach about that last week on Pentecost, about the work of the Holy Spirit, we're not slaves, but we have a heavenly Father. Well, maybe you've heard the saying, or maybe you've said it, or someone has said it to you. You are your father's son, or you are your father's daughter. It's certainly true of Jesus that he is his father's son. Now, Father's Day and Mother's Day are not church holidays, yet they're times that we recognize and we bring our fathers or mothers to church or come to church with them, and that's a great thing to see today. But it is true on Trinity Sunday that I think it's unavoidable, and especially because it coincides with Father's Day, that we talk about God the Father and what it means to have this heavenly Father. To confess that Jesus is his Father's Son, and that is meant as an absolutely good thing, a true confession. But not all of us have been blessed with good fathers. And some of us maybe say, yeah, my father is just completely average. That's what my kids said this morning. They woke up. They said, "You happy Father's Day? You are average." And I didn't say that. Maybe some of us say, yeah, my father's actually mediocre, or I don't even know who my father is. I mean, it runs the spectrum. But the truth is, all of us have a father, whether we want to acknowledge or celebrate that or not. It's interesting is that we have our gospel lesson that Pastor Jim just read a moment ago. That is from John chapter 8, and it is the tail end, 11 verses of this longer discourse, this conversation that Jesus has with the Pharisees in John 7 and 8. And so today, I know this is, some of you, I noticed one person did bring their Bible with them, not a member of this church. I know that because it's, but we have Bibles in the pew. If you want to follow along, I'm going to quickly move through John 7 and 8. You may have to start the next service without me. I don't know how long we're going to be here. I'm going to quickly move through John 7 and 8, because I think it helps to set it up well, because incidentally, this is the only time in our three-year lectionary series that we have a reading from John 8. And so I want to get the whole thing, I want to get the whole picture, because I think it's helpful here. So in John chapter 7, you notice at the top of the page here in the NIV translation, it says, Jesus goes to the Feast of Tabernacles. He goes from Galilee up in the north down into Jerusalem. Now, this is not his triumphal entry. This is not as significant as when he comes to Jerusalem to die. And in fact, he kind of, I wouldn't say he sneaks in, but he acknowledges this is not the time I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem, but I'm going to go. And the Feast of Tabernacles is a beautiful feast from the Old Testament. It has to do with light in the midst of darkness. It has to do with images in the Old Testament of water flowing freely. All the people gather together, and there is Jesus in Galilee. And then at verse 25 of chapter 7, you notice the question here. It's at the chapter heading, or the section heading. It says, at that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, and they're asking this of Jesus, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Because already there's a scandal there, and the Jewish leaders who are politically in power are being threatened by Jesus. In verse 26, it says, here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? But then they say this, they say, but we know where this man is from. You remember where he's from? His hometown? Nazareth. Okay, extra points for everybody who answered that. He's from Nazareth, up in the north, and they say, but we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. So it must not be him, because we know where he's from. But it goes further in verse 28. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I'm not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me. Who is he talking about, the one who sent him? His Father. And it's not Joseph the carpenter. It is his heavenly Father who sends him. And in verse 30 it says, at this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his time had not yet come. Still many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? And in verse 32 it says, the Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. They're going to do something about this right now, but hold on, because in verse 45, the temple guards come back, and notice what they report in 7:45. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? And they said, well, no one ever spoke the way this man does. And they said, you mean he has deceived you also? That he is a liar, and that he is doing some sort of trickery, and he is deceiving you also? But what do you know about Jesus? Is he a deceiver? No, not at all. The opposite of that. But it comes down ultimately to truth versus lies. And the truth is, all of us have a father, but not all fathers are good fathers. Now, that may be a controversial thing to say in 2019, sadly. Because some people say, well, you don't need a father. You can get a child without a father. I think we could probably make a scientific statement against that. But here's the truth also. Some fathers run away from the truth and responsibility. They don't want to be there to care for the mother of their child. May they be their wife, may not be their wife. They may not want to care for their children, and they shirk their responsibility, and that's awful. But then there is this statement that they make about Jesus, that, will the Jesus deceive you also? And behind this is Satan, who is the father of lies, who wants you and me to believe anything but the truth. I mean, take a world of possibilities, and Satan would be happy to have you believe anything but one thing. That God is God, that God is love, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Jesus the Savior came to save sinners, of which you and I are gathered amongst that, all human beings, people whose heartbeats are sinners. But Satan doesn't want you to know that. He'd be happy to believe that you don't need a father. That'd be one thing that's fine to believe. He'd be happy to have you believe that fathers are pointless. But Satan is a liar. And so this goes on in chapter 8 now, in 8:19. They ask him a question, and they say to him, 8:19, where is your father? And he says, you do not know me or my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him. Why? Because his time had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. And this made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. And so they say, who are you? That's something else. That's the who. Who? They say, who are you? That's if you were sleeping, wake up, or you were reading about the Athanasian Creed. They say, who are you? Like, this is a scandal. Who is Jesus? What is his identity? What is his destiny? And he says, then after that, just what I have been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable. That's the Father. And what I have heard from him, I tell to the world. They did not understand what he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be." What does he mean, "when you have lifted up the Son of Man"? It means on a cross. Yeah, when you have killed him, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing of my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him, as any good son or daughter does for his or her father. Right? Amen to that? You right? Bowling girls? Always do what Dad says. Amen. Okay, most of the time. And if not, repent. Even as he spoke, it says, many people now put their faith in him, in Jesus. And to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth," and I bet you've heard this before, "then you will know the truth and what? And the truth will set you free." Boy, the truth is a wonderful thing. And they answered him, and they said, "Hey, but we are Abraham's descendants, because Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord." Right arm, left, whatever. Okay, so anyway, some of you know that song. So they said, "Hey, we're Abraham's," and in fact, Abraham Av means dad or father, and Raham means many, the father of many. That's what Abraham's name means, literally. And he said, they said, "We are descendants of Abraham's, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be free?" But Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth." He said, "Amen. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free," you know what he says? "You will be free indeed." Amen. That sounds good. But then things turn sharply. Notice the people put their faith in him, and then they start to get some pushback from Jesus because they said, "Look, we're Abraham's descendants. This is about an ethnic lineage here." And they're pushing back. And then in 42, it gets really strong language here. Jesus said to them, so they're saying, "Look, we're not," Jesus is essentially saying, "You're illegitimate children." They're saying, "We're not illegitimate children." And then they say, "Look, the only father we have is God himself," the end of 41. And then in 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say." Because God actually gives faith, and it's a gift. And that's to hear, and that's to see. It comes in and through the Holy Spirit. He says, "You belong to your father," wait for it, "who is the devil." Wow. So it's a binary, like everybody's got a father. And it's either going to be a good father or a bad father. It's going to be a loving father or a father who hates all the things that God loves. It's going to be a father of truth or a father of lies. He says, "Yeah, you got a father, and it's not Abraham. It's the devil." Happy Father's Day. So he says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe in me." Man. So Jesus says, look, everybody who's born has a father. And the natural man, the natural woman, apart from the Holy Spirit who puts you into Jesus, who takes you to his Father, everybody has a father, but it's the devil. Happy Father's Day. But there is actually good news here. See, if the devil is your father, the devil hates you and wants to chain you up or lie to you or confuse you and leave you ultimately all alone to wither up and to die, to despair of life itself. But God the Father is a God of love and truth and mercy, who saves in a very particular way. Not just by giving you a warm feeling of being spiritual, but not religious, but by sending Jesus because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus, who is his Father's Son. Perfectly. So he says, he who belongs to God, in verse 47, hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And so that's when you heard what Pastor Jim read. The Jews answered, aren't we right in saying you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed? And now they just start calling him names because there's nothing new under the sun. If they would have had Twitter, they would have done that, and then they would have sent their Twitter minions to attack, and then they would have taken him off, demonetized him from YouTube and taken him off of Pinterest. Oh, that's actually to this too. Okay. He says, I'm not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there's one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Because Abraham believed and trusted God and did what God said. And Jesus says, look, if you were actually children of Abraham, you would believe and do what God, your Father, says. But you don't, and so you're children of the devil. Because to be saved, to know that you're a child of God, is a gift that comes by grace, through faith, through Jesus. At this the Jews exclaimed, we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets, yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? And Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and was glad because he lived by faith. He trusted God. Yet, and they say, well, look, you're not even 50 years old, because that's ancient, right? I'm not even close to 50, so... And they say, and you're not even 50, and you have seen Abraham. And he says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. Oh, that's a scandal. Because God is Yahweh, I am. And at this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds because it wasn't yet his time. And it's a mystery. See, if we try to explain the Trinity and saying, well, here's an analogy. You've got an apple and a peel and a middle and seeds. All those analogies kind of break down. But the story of the Trinity is a story of a God who saves. It's a true story. It's a confession of faith. It's a story of salvation about a God who created all things. And he said it was good. He said it was very good. But then sin comes into the world. But God promised a Savior, and he sends his only begotten Son, the faithful one, who is the perfect image of his Father, who comes in and through the power of the Holy Spirit to save. And yet none of us could know, none of us could hear or see or trust apart from the Holy Spirit who creates faith. Because it's not by my own reason or strength that I can believe in him or come to him, but it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Son, Father. See, everything here is happening on two levels. There's Jesus, who's the perfect image and revelation of his Father. He's truth and life and light. And then Jesus says, but apart from me, you live in darkness. And you have a father who is the devil, who is the one of lies and death and darkness. The devil who would tell you anything you want to hear but the truth. Well, what kind of father is God the Father? An awful one, a deadbeat? No, he's a loving father. And so when we sang the hymn of the Father's love begotten, it's not just a Christmas hymn, because Christmas, the incarnation, is a confession of the Trinity, of a God who saves. Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, he is Alpha and Omega, he the source, the ending he, of the things that are, that have been, and future years shall see, from beginning to end, Alpha and Omega. Verse 2 is explicitly about Christmas. Oh, that birth forever blessed, when the Virgin full of grace, by the Holy Ghost conceiving, bore the Savior of our race, and the babe, the world's Redeemer, first revealed, showed his sacred face. This is he whom seers in old time chanted, maybe Abraham himself, with one accord, whom the voices of the prophets promised in their faithful word. Now he shines the long expected. Let creation praise its Lord. And verse 4 takes us to the heavenly banquet. O ye heights of heaven, adore him. Angel hosts and praises sing. Powers, dominions, bow before him, because on that day every knee will bow and tongue confess and extol our God and King. Let no tongue on earth be silent. Every voice in concert ring. Christ to thee with God the Father and O Holy Ghost to thee. Him enchant and high thanksgiving and unending praises be. Honor, glory, and dominion and eternal victory. Evermore and evermore, amen. Because after if you're singing it, you sing amen, according to countryman's rule that I'm still trying to get that through. So if you want to know who God is and what kind of God he is, look to Jesus, look to the Son. The only way you can see the Son is through the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 4:7, and I'll end with this, St. John says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and loves God. And then he says in verse 9, In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his only Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. And then he ends with this, And we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Evermore and evermore. Amen. And may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who makes us children of the Heavenly Father. Amen.